So if I say to you, they never come to visit me, who's saying that? Parents. You rarely hear children say, my parents, they never come to visit me. And this is a cliche already, right? That one parent can support six children, but six children can't support one parent. That love gets winded when it goes uphill from children to parents. And there is, by the way, a Jewish version of this, although all those were also Jewish versions of this, especially they don't come to visit me, and they could at least call. Which is that in the Talmud, they ask, what's the hardest of the Ten Commandments? And guess what the rabbis answer? Honor your father and mother. The hardest one. Now, why is that? There are certainly a lot of obvious reasons why it is difficult to honor parents in all sorts of ways. Because parents and children have different expectations, because children have their own lives, and parents sometimes find it difficult to accept that fact. On and on and on, I don't have to give you the sociological and psychological reasons. I'm here to give you a theological reason. We should all stick to our own jobs. And that is that you may or may not know that the Ten Commandments, which we read this morning, of course, or read this morning in the Torah portion, they are traditionally divided between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, obligations that we owe God and obligations that we owe one another. And the first four commandments, that you should know that there is one God and not worship idols and keep the Sabbath and not take God's name in vain, those four commandments are traditionally considered obligations that you owe God. The fifth commandment is the transitional one. Honor your parents. Because it is considered that in some ways, especially when you are young, God's substitute in this world, God's educator in this world is your parent, and so it is a command that both is about honoring God and also about honoring human beings. Which raises the question, which is more important? That is, which side of the commandments matter more if you can even assign them a relative value? I ask this in part because, as you well know, there are people in the world who treat people very badly in God's name, who even murder in God's name. And they say that by doing so, they're exalting God, and after all, God's will is more important than people's will. And treating God correctly takes precedence over the way that you treat other human beings, because after all, God is God. And I want to bring a Jewish perspective on this, what I hope, I would like to say the Jewish perspective. But I don't want to be too imperialistic in claiming something for all of Judaism, so I will just say what I think should be the Jewish perspective. And it begins, actually, with something that my teacher, Simon Greenberg, taught me about the Ten Commandments many years ago. He said, what is it that makes the Ten Commandments unique in history? After all, there were laws and rules before the Ten Commandments. And his answer is that until God gave the commandments, the assumption of human beings was that what gods wanted was to treat them properly. If you read Homer or ancient Near Eastern myths, what do the gods want from human beings? They want them to sacrifice and care for the gods. The innovation, said Rabbi Greenberg, in the Ten Commandments was that God cares about how you treat each other. That wasn't true for Zeus, but it was true for God. And therefore, what you see in the Ten Commandments is this interlocking of a sense that your obligations toward the divine shape their obligations toward the human. And that's why Heschel said so beautifully that he understood the commandment against idolatry differently from the way that it is traditionally understood. He said, why can't you worship an idol? What does God care if you bow down to a stone? He says, yes, it's an insult to God. But you know what? God is big. God can withstand the insult. He said, the real problem with idolatry is that there exists an image of God in this world. It's in every human face. And when you make a statue and you say that's an image of God, it's not that you're insulting God, it's that you're insulting yourself and other human beings, and that you are not permitted to do. The idea that honoring God is intrinsically to honor other human beings, that's a very powerful idea. And an idea that is so often violated when people override the appropriate way to treat other human beings because they claim it is God's will. Remember that Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachavero, the division I mentioned earlier, obligations that you owe other human beings and obligations that you owe God, remember that of those two, the one that is the vulnerable creature, the fragile creature, the one that can be hurt, is the human being. And those obligations take precedence. We know this from lots of Jewish tradition. Pikuach nefesh docheh Shabbat. It doesn't matter if it's Shabbat and you owe that obligation to God. If you have to save a life, you do anything you can. And I brought all this up not only because this morning is the Ten Commandments, but because I've been going around telling everybody I could this beautiful church teaching that I learned when we took our wonderful trip to Israel and Azerbaijan. And the teaching is not from this morning's Parsha, but it relates to this theme. The rabbi in Azerbaijan told me a teaching in the name of the Gera Rebbe. You may remember, and if you don't remember, it's okay because I'm about to remind you, that Abraham gets circumcised at a very advanced age, and God is there with Abraham at that moment. And the rabbis have a very nice interpretation of that. They say God is doing bikur cholim, visiting the sick, helping Abraham get better. And when we visit the sick, we are emulating God. But then, as Abraham is in God's presence, three strangers, we know them to be angels, but Abraham doesn't know that. Three strangers come to Abraham, outside Abraham's tent, and what does he do? He gets up, he leaves where he is, and he goes and greets them. So the Talmud says this teaches you that to greet a stranger is more important than greeting God's presence. Kabbalat Pnei Hashchinah. Now let's stay there for a moment before we get to the teaching that I want to tell you. First of all, do you realize how astonishing it is for rabbis of the Talmud 2,000 years ago to say that it is more important to greet the stranger than to greet God? That already tells you what the precedence is in our tradition, that the human being comes first. But here's the addition to that, that I think is so beautiful. The Gera Rebbe asked the following question. He said, okay, we know that it is more important to greet the stranger than to greet God because Abraham did it. But how did Abraham know? How did Abraham have the chutzpah, the gall, the temerity to leave God's presence and go and greet the strangers? And his answer is very beautiful. He said it's not in spite of the fact that he was in God's presence, but because he was in God's presence. Because to be in God's presence means to want to do a mitzvah, to want to help another human being. And Abraham's impulse to greet the stranger came from the fact that he was in God's presence. In other words, understood properly, it is God's presence and God's will that impels us to care for one another, to take care of each other, to greet the stranger, who, as you may know, in the ancient world was the most vulnerable, marginalized person. Because if you didn't have a community, you couldn't live. So it's important for us to acknowledge and to recognize that when we talk about what God wants, it has to be conditioned by what we understand human beings need. And to hurt, or God forbid, to kill in God's name is the exact opposite of what it is that the tradition teaches. That the whole point of the Ten Commandments is to remind us that to treat other people well is to treat God well. One day, if it hasn't already happened to you, surely it will. One day someone's going to show up at your door whom you don't know, and you're going to say, "Who are you?" And they will say, "I'm the child of your friend, or the child of someone you grew up with. Or do you remember so-and-so that you roomed with in college? I'm their kid." And you know what you'll do? You'll bring them in and treat them well. Because that's what you do for the children of someone you feel close to. We are all God's children. So when the stranger shows up, all they have to do is say, "We have the same parent. We're part of the same family." And like Abraham, God willing, you will heed not only the tradition, but the will of the one who created us, and open your doors and bring them in. Shabbat shalom.